If it seems like male authors get more attention, well, there are hard numbers to back that up. It's something called the Vita Count. Vita is a women's literary organization, and the count is the result of 8 months of tracking gender disparity in leading publications. It looks at the gender of authors whose books are being reviewed and the gender of those doing the reviewing. Here's NPR's Lynn Neary.
The Vita numbers have changed very little over the last 4 years. The Atlantic, the London Review of Books, the New Republic, and The Nation have all had an overall ratio of 75 men to 25 women. That includes reviewers and those reviewed. At the New York Review of Books, it's 80-20. Vita's count director, Jen Fitzgerald, says the numbers are so clear, they're starting to change the conversation.
We have these stark blue and red charts that offer up data, and there's no negating it. When we present it, it's no longer a question of, is there an imbalance? Now it's a question of, why is there an imbalance? Do we want to change the imbalance? You know, the initial shock of, oh my goodness, are we really seeing 75% men across the board? To a question of, why are editors okay with 75% men across the board?
To say that the Vita Count is an eagerly awaited event in the book world would not be exactly accurate. A couple of years ago, the editor of the Times Literary Supplement famously said his publication didn't plan to make, quote, a fetish of having 50-50 contributions by men and women book reviewers. And the New Republic did some research showing there are more male than female authors, which could explain why more books written by men get reviewed.
I don't know the numbers in terms of what's being published, how many books are by women and how many books are by men.
Pamela Paul is the editor of the New York Times Book Review, which showed improvement in this year's Vita count. In 2013, the number of male and female book reviewers in the Times was almost equal, and they reviewed 332 books written by women and 482 by men. Paul took over as editor during that time and says diversifying the book review section was a priority for her.
It is not hard work at all. That's the big secret. It's not hard. There are so many good books out there by women, and there are so many incredibly good book critics out there who are women. So I actually have to say that I didn't find it to be an incredible strain. I don't think any of our editors at the Book Review felt like, you know, we were unduly burdened.
Near the bottom of the Vita count this year, the New Republic, which released a statement acknowledging that its numbers look, quote, more what you would expect from 1964 than 2014, and promising that this would change in the future. Harper's was in that 75 to 25% group, but Deputy Editor Christopher Bahar says that represents a 10% improvement for his publication. Bahar says in the future, some deeply ingrained habits will have to change.
You can have a long-term vision of gender equality, but if you have an institutional history in which, you know, you've got a stable of writers who are more male than female, and the day-to-day when you're trying to get the magazine out, it's just often easier to rely on the people who you've relied on in the past.
But Bahar says other changes are needed, too. He contends men and women approach the magazine differently with ideas, and that may also affect the numbers.
Speaking broadly, of course, a male writer comes to you with an idea, and you say, this isn't quite right for us, you know, try us again. If I say that try us again in my email, I'm going to get a response the next day with three new ideas. And there is a tendency, I think, among female writers to emphasize the this isn't right for us part rather than the try again part.
Vita's numbers may have raised awareness of the problem of gender disparity, but the conversation on how to solve it continues. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.